The question today is, what is the 70th week of Daniel? We've studied this already for about 3 days before, and this is part four of this. We've looked back at Daniel's visions where he was given a vision of 70 weeks of years is what it amounts to, in which God was going to deal with his people. Seven of those weeks, or 49 years, would begin whenever Ezra was given commandment by Artaxerxes to go back and to restore Jerusalem, or help to restore it to its former state, all the affairs of Jerusalem. And that happened. And that lasted for 49 years, and that ended about the time Malachi was written. And then began, and there's no delay in time, no missing of any time, but began what was called the 62 weeks of the years, which is 434 years, which God would deal with his people, but he gave them no open revelation during that time because the people had failed to obey God in Malachi, and God quit talking to them, and they had no open revelation during those 400 years of dark time between Malachi and Matthew. And then, of course, he said the Messiah would be cut off. That was around A.D. 29, or whenever Jesus died on the cross. We know the calendar's off some, and we've looked at that, and I'll not go into that in detail today. But about A.D. 29, God took out the natural olive branch because Jesus had come unto his own, and his own received him not. Talking about the Jews. They wouldn't accept him as the Messiah. And as a result, he took out the natural olive branch out of the olive tree and grafted in the wild olive branch, which is the Gentile church today. And he's dealing with us during this day of grace, if you please. During these the dispensation that Hebrews says is the last days. How it started at the cross and it'll end in the last days. Now we're in the last days of the last days today. But Jesus, that's what he did. But he said that, Daniel even said, that he'll confirm that covenant, meaning the Antichrist, the prince or the ruler of the Roman Empire, will confirm that covenant for a week, in other words, which is 7 years. And during that time, the Antichrist will come on the scene. He'll be riding a white horse, and with he's a white horse rider, Revelation 6, a bow and no arrow. He'll allow people, allow the Jews to rebuild the build a temple, and they'll begin to offer sacrifices similar to what they did in the Old Testament time. But God won't meet with them in the Holy of Holies because you see they're just going through the motion. And so what will happen during that time? The Antichrist will cause during this first 3.5 years of the 70th week of Daniel, he'll cause a war to be ensued that would cause all the renegade people out yonder that didn't come in the first seal as the white horse rider. He just confirmed it with many. And then others will be forced to come in war. And that'll cause bloodshed. And that's the red horse rider. And that'll be nuclear involvement. That'll cause a famine. The black horse rider, which is the third horse rider. And that famine, of course, and war altogether causes a lot of people to die. And that's the fourth horse rider, or the pale horse rider, of Revelation chapter number 6. Now, in the midst of the 70th week of Daniel, verse number 15 says, in fact, Daniel even spoke of the fact that he'd cause oblation and sacrifice to cease. And Matthew records that as Jesus spoke this to the disciples, when ye, meaning the saints of God, not Israel, but when the saints of God therefore see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whosoever readeth, let him understand. In other words, when he stands up as God in that place, the Jews are going to know that they've received the wrong one. And he's desecrating the temple. Even though God hadn't met with him, he's still desecrating the temple, just similar to the type in the Old Testament time, in the Malachi, in between the dark time between Malachi and Matthew, when Antiochus Epiphanes offered a salve on the altar and infuriated the Jews. And this will infuriate the Jews, and they'll flee. Some ago, and he gave some instructions we dealt with in verses 16 of Matthew 24 through verse 20, that you better hope that this time's not that way because you'll be overrun, you'll be taken, and you'll be killed. Then why? Why is that? For then, verse 21 says of Matthew 24, shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no nor ever shall be. In other words, this great tribulation is the time when the Antichrist sets himself up as God. The false prophet, which is a part of the unholy Trinity, causes man to worship the beast. And he does that by having you to take a mark of the beast to buy or sell. If you don't have the mark of the beast, you can't buy or sell, and so you'll not be able to eat. And people that's not saved will take the mark of the beast, and their soul will be damned to everlasting fire, lake of fire, one day. And so as a result, I believe that mark of the beast will be a chip, like a grain of rice. I know it says it's the number of man, 666 in the head, forehead, or in your right hand. I don't know all that could be, but I think it's a chip probably that will be able to scan at the grocery store where you'll be able to buy or sell. Now, the sad part about it, it'd be such great tribulation that your family will even turn you in. If they're not saved, they'll turn you in to the Antichrist, and you'll be martyred. That's why whenever the fifth seal was opened, in verse number 9 of chapter 6 of Revelation, and when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren, that they should be killed as they were, should be fulfilled. In other words, he says, I can't, and they're not crying out complaining. They stood for Christ. They were martyred. But their souls and spirits is under the altar. Their body was out destroyed somewhere, or buried, burnt, or whatever it may have been. But they're martyrs for Christ. But he said, they asked, how long is this going to go on? And he said, it's going to go on until some more come the same way you have. Now, it's interesting to note that verse 22 of Matthew 14, it talks about in 21, the great tribulation. That is that period of time, you see. That's when it occurs. Saints of God have always been in tribulation. They've not been, will not face the wrath of God. And this tribulation is taking the mark of the beast, which will be persecuted so great that multitudes would be killed. Verse 22 says of Matthew 14, And except those days shall be shortened, there shall no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake those days shall be shortened. In other words, he shortens the time of the great, what is really great tribulation. Not the 70th week of Daniel, but this section beginning the last 3.5 years. He shortens that time, or else it'd be what he said another place. And when the Lord comes, will he find faith on the earth? Meaning, when he comes back, will all the saints of God be killed? No. He said they're shortened for the elect's sake. Now, the elect is not Israel in this case. I know the Old Testament time it talked about the elect being Israel at times. But listen, the Bible said in 1 Peter, he's writing to the elect, that's the saints of God, according to the foreknowledge of God, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and the sprinkling of blood. That's the saints of God. That's what it means to be elect. And he shortens it for the elect's sake, or else they'll all die. And so the days are short. How long they're shortened, we don't know. But I think it has it fixed that way to let us know that we can't tell the pinpoint the time our Lord's going to come back, because he's going to shorten these days of the great tribulation. And verse 24 says of Matthew, For there shall rise Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Now, he's not talking about Israel there, talking about the saints of God. Because, you see, Israel had already been deceived by the Antichrist. And whenever they realize, when he sets himself up as God, they flee to the mountains. They know that they were deceived. But here he's talking about the saints of God, that this man is going to do great exploits, and not only one, but a bunch of them will, that will cause even that would deceive the very elect. But he puts in there, if it were possible. You see, it's not possible to deceive a child of God. Now, you might be shaken with terminology for a little bit, but the Holy Ghost of God who lives inside you will show you truth and guides you into all truth, and you'll not be deceived. So these people who leave truth and go into error and go off into some false doctrine and say, well, I used to be a Baptist, I used to be this and so forth, but now I'm something that don't even believe the truth, listen, they wasn't saved. That's what's wrong. They wasn't saved. Don't make a way for them to go to heaven. They're not going to heaven. They fell away. And so as a result, the saints of God will not be deceived. So you've got to realize that's what he's saying there. Now, the Bible says here in Matthew chapter 24, he speaks about some things. Well, let me go to Luke 21 and show you. Now, this is the synoptic gospel that Jesus was talking to Peter, James, and Andrew there on the Mount of Olives, overlooking the city of Jerusalem, no doubt. And he told basically the same thing that he told there and up to this point. And then he said, and he talked about him, about the fact they're going to be martyred in here. And then he said, and there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and up on the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the seas and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh. Who? Saints of God. Those who've been justified, saved from the penalty of sin, their spirit's been quickened, and their soul has been in the process of sanctification, being saved daily from the power of sin, will come to a point to where they will be saved from the presence of sin, and that's when the body will be caught up. Because he said, they'll see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. This is the rapture. I'll show you this next time a little more, but this is the rapture that occurs right here. Now, most people say that the rapture will occur before the Antichrist comes on the scene. I wish they were right. I wish that was true. And I really hope I'm wrong in some ways concerning this, but the Bible is very clear about when the rapture shall occur. The rapture is not a Bible word, I know that, but it's a Bible principle. And he says this in the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. In other words, Paul is writing to the saints at Thessalonica about our gathering together unto him. That would be what we call the rapture. That will be the first part of the second coming, when the Lord comes in the clouds, in the air, and catches the saints of God up. It's also called the day of Christ. And he said, I'm writing concerning that. And he said that you should not be soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. In other words, he said, if somebody writes a letter of my name on it, probably had, and said, this is Paul writing you, and they told him false information. He said, don't listen to all that stuff. Let no man deceive you. Verse 3 said, by any means, for that day, meaning the day of Christ, shall not come except there come a falling away first. That's the apostasy. That's the great falling away, which we're in right now. And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. You know when the man of sin's revealed? In the middle of the 70th week of Daniel, when he sets himself up as God, there's where he's revealed. And he said, the rapture cannot occur. The day of his coming shall not occur until after that happens. The man of sin is revealed. Deal more with this tomorrow. This is Edgar Lee Pascal, host of Ask the Pastor, saying good day to you until we meet again on the air or in the air. May the good Lord bless you is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.